You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions and student voices.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of The Pulse, in which we will be discussing the recent affiliation of Nottingham Students for Life and the resulting consequences this has had within the SU with regards to their democratic processes. My name is Olivia.
And I'm Elliot. We're also joined by Rebecca and Annie, as well as Adam from the Left and Socialist Societies. As ever, if you want to get in contact with us at any point throughout the show, you can do so via Twitter at URN1350 or send us a message online at urn1350.net.
But first, to get started, let's recap what has happened so far.
After having their initial application rejected, Nottingham Students for Life lodged an appeal at the end of the last academic year at the Termini Society's council meeting.
This particular time, we turned up in the physics building and there was an absolute ram, which there has never been to one of these before, even though they're trying to get 300 people into a room. And then there was the whole row of SU officers all there, along with other protesters, holding up placards, trying to have conversations with people, like trying to make people aware what was going on. It was the most exciting one of these meetings I've ever been.
The outcome of the Society's council meeting resulted in the Nottingham Students for Life's application being rejected once again.
Over the summer, the student group turned to legal advice, and after identifying various flaws in the democratic processes of the SU and the affiliation application process, Nottingham Students for Life used their right to freedom of speech to become affiliated, joining the other 13 official pro-life student societies across the UK.
Following on from the affiliation of Nottingham Students for Life, a petition was created in protest. We spoke to its creator, Vinnie Fraser. He provided the following written statement after its online release.
First of all, it must be emphasised when we refer to UNSU, we're referring to the SU trustees. Unfortunately, some FTOs are members of the board, however. The SU statement in response to the uproar surrounding this topic has made students feel betrayed. It has shown that a mere legal threat trumps common decency, democracy, women's rights and the very values that the SU is meant to uphold. The SU has said that it wishes to keep a closer eye on the group in question, but have failed to address that this group is already associated with a major anti-LGBT lobby. The SU has shown that they are afraid of challenging the actions of the society purely due to the threat of legal change. The newly formed group, Nottingham Students for Democracy, will be seeking to call a general meeting of the UNSU trustees in accordance with SU bylaws to hold the trustees to account. I will be writing to James Feasey with a request for further action, as well as providing a list of signatories to a highly popular petition with comments included. He cannot ignore this many voices.
Despite receiving nearly 200 signatures to the petition, Nottingham Students for Life remains affiliated. The Equality Commission for Human Rights had also pushed earlier in the year for universities to encourage freedom of speech.
The Students' Union called for an extraordinary student council meeting on the 10th of October, in which they outlined their new policy on reproductive autonomy and their official stance as a pro-choice organisation.
So the ballots have been counted. 19 ballots were counted this evening, and the motion passes unanimously. Yeah.
The SU is now conducting a review of their democratic processes. Yesterday, the SU posted on Facebook a link to a survey in which students can provide their thoughts on the issue.
For all those who are unsure of the affiliation process which Nottingham Students for Life followed, here is a quick breakdown.
The SU has an official process in place for the affiliation of any society. After collecting 25 members, the groups must provide compulsory documents requested by the Students' Union. Shortly after this, they will meet with their development coordinator and the activity officer to discuss the proposed society. They then will head to the society's council committee, where they will have the aims and objectives of the society read out to the society's council, and a simple for and against vote will take place. If they win a majority, the society is affiliated. If not, the group has the chance to either accept the decision or appeal for another consideration.
We've also had the opportunity to speak to James Feasey, our current SU president, about how the SU has responded to the backlash and what their plans are for the future regarding SU democratic processes.
First, can I ask you to confirm the stance of the SU regarding pro-life, pro-choice and reproductive autonomy?
Yes, so as per the policy which passed, the SU is a pro-choice institution, which means we support the right to reproductive autonomy for any of our members. That means whether a member chooses to go through with pregnancy to full term or whether they choose not to, we'll support them either way.
Why was the initial request of Nottingham Students for Life to become affiliated with the SU denied?
So our affiliation process has a number of stages, of which there is relatively little clarity. It was denied by one committee, they then appealed that, and that went to an appeal, which was then rejected. But the specifics of the reasons why they were denied weren't clear enough to satisfy basically what is our process. To be frank, the process is a mess. When we were trying to figure this out and decide what would have to be done, it involved me going through all of the bylaws and all of the guidance documents and articles and everything, and ended up producing like a 6-page document which detailed the events of it, which shows how much of a mess and how it wasn't anyone's fault the decisions that were made throughout the process. It was simply that the process was inadequate. That's how we got there. I think it's in the Society's Council guidance document. There's kind of an outline as to why you can affiliate a society, and it gives 8 reasons that they need to fulfill and 4 reasons that they can't not, like, they're like negative reasons. Those reasons in that guidance document don't correlate with the reasons in the bylaws themselves, which in turn are unclear with our actual process, like our operational process. So we've got 3 different sets of processes which don't line up. And the reason Students for Life was rejected, some discussion happened around a vague policy stance we have, which didn't fit nicely within those 16 reasons-ish. Nor did it fit in either of the other 2 processes. So without going at saying process so many times, it's really hard to point to the exact problem because there was so many shortfallings in all 3 different processes, neither of which that were used.
The SU has received some backlash for affiliating the group.
Yes.
How does the SU respond to that?
So I would say the backlash is split into 2 parts. There was a backlash around the issue at hand, the pro-choice, pro-life debate. And there was a backlash about our democratic procedures. And it's really good to see people get really impassioned about both of those. Like, the reason I ran for my role is because I was impassioned about the democratic procedures being a mess and wanting to fix them. So it's really nice to see that. We want people to channel that passion into fixing some of the problems. The issue of pro-life, pro-choice debate and that notion of reproductive autonomy, we hope we've taken a first step in clarifying our position on that last night, which, with a happily unanimous vote in favour, which is great. And the democratic processes, what's really helpful is when people come along to our democratic meetings or literally email me and meet with me. After the backlash, I met with a number of people in person to chat over where they thought the problems were and how we could fix it. What I can say is it was done with the most careful consideration, and I'm comfortable that the right process and decisions were followed on our part in reviewing it. But I'm totally there with the backlash that our processes should be robust in the first place. We shouldn't have to do that kind of thing.
Has the affiliation of the Nottingham Students for Life Society now made the practice of the Society's Council obsolete?
I wouldn't say it had made it obsolete. I'd say what it very clearly did was highlight that it wasn't functioning as we thought it was functioning. So there was an appearance that there was this final democratic say on this kind of issue in that specific forum, which the Nottingham Students for Life issue very clearly showed that that wasn't the final say, nor was the democratic process in place robust enough to actually make those decisions. What it has done is it's prompted a review into the process.
Initially, the group was denied affiliation.
Yes.
And then afterwards, it was then affiliated. I just want to know why that happened and if the threat of legal action and then going to contact lawyers had anything.
That was a key prompt in us looking at it. I mean, I think I'd be remiss to say otherwise. So our current structures as they're meant to be laid out is that you've got that initial phase, which was the council committee, which they were rejected at. There's then the appeals process, which is what went to council. There's then meant to be a third step, which is called the complaints procedure, which is in the bylaws. Unsurprisingly at this point, it's broken. It asks for bodies and people that don't exist to do things that don't make sense. So they couldn't go through that. So the prompt for us that we needed to do some kind of extra stage of appeal came through that legal prompt, which is when we opened the dialogue and looked into it and reviewed this. The decision we made wasn't in response to the legal threat, but the looking at it was definitely prompted by that.
Can you tell me what you are doing to resolve the issues in governance procedures?
Yes. There's a couple of different avenues
we're going down.
So there's the immediate fixes that they need to happen now. So there's a review of the code of conduct, which is going to DPC on Tuesday, which hopefully refines that to make that effective. There's a review of the society affiliation process, which is going to DPC on Tuesday. There's a couple other tweaks to the bylaws going through on Tuesday. My next project, assuming this affiliation process passes DPC, which I hope it does, will be looking at that complaints procedure and making sure that's robust. And also just general transparency across the union. So up until now, the trustee board has been fairly this like body we don't hear about, isn't on the website, but sometimes turns up and says no, which is just clearly not what it should be. So we now have a webpage for the trustee board on the site. It's very bare bones at the moment because it's just gone up to quickly get it up. There will be minutes and decisions and information about all that kind of stuff. So that's transparent and accountable. And we're attempting to mirror that in all of our other meetings. So effective minuting, effective accountability. There's some nice short-term things that we can go on with. There's then long-term, as I don't know, people may be aware, I kind of ran on a manifesto of, our democracy's all a mess, this all needs sorting out. Come on, guys. So that's what we're doing. We've got a democratic review process, which there will be a survey going out on Thursday, the 17th of October. That will be out for 2 weeks, and that will be getting a lot of feedback into what students want from our democratic process. That's a process that will, the feedback from that will be coming in up until December. There'll be a period where we write loads of new processes, another consultation period, and then it'll go to referendum to change all of our processes to new ones that work. In time for the officer elections in March. So as I'm sure that makes it sound, we're on a very tight timeline, because that's probably a 2-year program that we're doing in a way that we think is just important to get done quickly, but effectively, which is why we're doing such a large insight piece at the beginning. So that's a more long-term look at our entire governance process.
The SU is introducing a new policy, which has just been passed,
yes,
on reproductive autonomy. Could you just quickly summarise this for our listeners?
So the policy basically states the facts of the legality of abortion and the importance of the right to abortion as indicated by both the NUS, the United Nations and our other policies. It then goes on to show how we believe that it's important that there isn't misinformation spread surrounding abortion, and that people feel they can have access to information around just general reproductive autonomy if they feel like it. And if they feel like if that's perceived as not being accessible, that could be damaging to our members, which can harm them both well-being wise and their education. And that we resolve to make it very clear that we do support whatever our members choose to do with their reproductive autonomy, and that we want to make sure that there isn't misinformation propagated on either side of the discussion, because we've identified that that misinformation can be harmful.
How are you going to ensure that you provide guidance to both women who may potentially be seeking an abortion and those who want to carry the pregnancy to its full term? That is one of the points in the policy.
Yes. That will be through appropriate signposting, and I think, as I said, we aren't experts in this discussion, and our advice team is great, but they would never claim to give advice on something that they don't feel comfortable on. So the advice we have will be what we're comfortable giving, and then any signposting will be signposting the options available to people. If someone comes in and says they're concerned and they want to carry their pregnancy to term, they don't have to deal with that, then we'll provide the support to help them do that. It's not us pushing people one way or another. It was really exciting to see so many students turn out at an event. So I've been to union councils for the past 3 years probably at this point, and I haven't seen one like that. And the panel came to a unanimous decision, which in my eyes is because of the level of rigorous scrutiny that was given to the motion before it came to be voted on. And if you want the union to be representing your views, if you want the union to do the things you want the union to do, the best way to influence that is to turn out, and we can make sure that we're doing that. And I would encourage anyone to get involved in the democratic review, which is coming up. there seems to be an appetite to make sure our democracy is effective and our governance is good. And the best way to do that is fill out our survey, come along to the focus groups we're doing, get directly involved with shaping the new processes and the new democratic systems that are coming.
This is URN.
The Student Society Nottingham Students for Life have provided us with the following written statement.
During the affiliation process, we do believe that the SU treated us unfairly. Not only were we given incorrect information about the Society's Union Council, but we also found that our SU, who are supposed to represent all students, had organised a protest outside and handed out postcards in order to deceive the student body into giving them the idea that we were trying to take away their bodily rights and their right to choose. Not only is this campaigning highly undemocratic, but the whole council was very poorly executed, which led to much confusion. Whilst we support the potential upcoming affiliation of the Pro-Choice Society and wish them all the best, we expect that they will be treated with a lot more support and respect than ours received.
When we asked why they chose to use legal action, they responded with the following.
The SU had contradicted UK laws on free speech, and therefore we felt justified in holding the SU to account. In allowing us to be affiliated, the SU recognised their mistake. We would not have threatened the SU with this legal action if we did not believe that illegal behaviour had been implemented against us.
Regarding the new official stance of the SU as a pro-choice organisation and the new policy on reproductive autonomy, the group came back with the following response.
We are disappointed by the heavy bias towards abortion instead of including the other options or support for those who wish to keep their baby. We also believe that the SU should be impartial in these matters. However, we have no doubt that the SU acted upon what they believed to be the students' best interests at heart. We are celebrating the small amendments, meaning the union should encourage support of pregnant students at the university with the hopes that it can open doors for fairer choice in the future. We had hoped that the SU would remain politically neutral on this widely debated issue. However, we respect James and Cassie and feel reassured that despite this new official stance, we will be a respected society at the university. Recently, we have found the SU open and willing to discuss certain ideas with us further, and we are hopeful to see where this support will go. Our development officer has been invaluable, and we are sure that by working together, we can make positive changes on campus.
We also approached the potential pro-choice society who are in the process of affiliating. This is what they had to say.
Annie and I are joined by Amber and Sam today from the Pro-Choice Society, and we're going to be asking them a few questions about the society and the ongoings from the SU and the Pro-Life Society.
So why did you found or join the Pro-Choice Society?
So I guess I kind of saw an uproar on social media of like kind of bashing against the SU and also bashing against like the Nottingham Students for Life, and I thought instead of creating like more hate, to do something positive from what had been happening.
And leading on for that, how did you feel when you found out that the Pro-Life Society had been affiliated?
I was more kind of shocked about how they went about doing it, because obviously some people might be angry about other societies that exist. We've got lots of political parties here and like societies, and you know, if people really hate the Conservative Party or the Labour Party, they might be like outraged that they exist. But obviously, again, it's like their own opinions and their own choice. It's what they do with those opinions. I was at Society's Council when they tried to kind of get affiliated, and I was saying to like a president of another society, I was like, they genuinely had some good ideas to work with, like single parent families, that I thought, oh, that's positive, that's a positive impact and that's something good for the community. But then it was the other side of things. To me, there's like, you know, there is a fine line between being like anti-abortion and pro-life, and it was the more anti-abortion like hatred side that came out from like the law kind of see that they were threatening that made me the most kind of, yeah, angry.
So what are your thoughts on the democratic process of the SU?
Ooh, so I actually had a meeting with the SU president, James, because he wanted to like basically clarify and give an official kind of, this is what's happening, this is what's happened, this is where we stand from it. Obviously, until I had the knowledge and until I was educated on the process, I was outraged that the university wanted to support these views without giving, you know, like an official statement saying why. It kind of came across as it was the view of the university and the view of the students, which considering like the large amount of following that I think pro-choice has, it's not the majority view of the students here. So I was shocked, to be honest, and I was very angry to begin with, and I was very disappointed, and I was supposed to be doing open days, and I was like, I don't even want to do the open days, like, how can I, you know, promote this university to students? And then with that in the background of my mind, that this could become very unsafe, this could become very ugly, should they wish it to, and yeah. But then I had a meeting with James, like, he asked to see me and clarified why the SU had to do what they did, and whilst obviously I still don't agree with it, I can't really comment completely because I don't know the full ins and outs, but I know that the SU are very kind of aware, and you know, they aren't pleased themselves about having to make that decision. I also, as well, like, I did feel sorry because it's like, you know, like an incoming committee of the SU officers, and you know, nobody signs up to deal with this, so yeah, I'm hoping that they're able to like rectify.
Well, that was going to lead me to ask, are you happy with the new policy that was passed on Thursday?
It's nice that the SU have taken a stance on the subject, and it's obviously very pleasing to us that it's sort of in line with our views. But I don't think that changes what happened over the summer.
Yeah.
I think the democratic process has to be there for a reason. Yeah. And it's also important students know what that process is.
Yeah, I think that's, for me as well, I think there needs to be, I would like to see like the SU release something to like let everybody know what that process is, because a lot of people, like myself, like weren't aware of it, and then obviously were shocked when the, you know, when they were affiliated. And for me, like, I think to know that we have the support, and I was so worried that people would want the Pro-Choice Society affiliated because they weren't looking at our views and they weren't looking at what we wanted to do. They were just like, they saw like the label of pro-choice and they're like, well, yeah, they're gonna, you know, hate on the pro-life and they're gonna be the ones who deal with them. And I actually,
which is not the case at all.
Are you happy in general with the way the SU have reacted to what's going on?
I'd say one concern would be the Societies Council that's coming up at the end of this month, because I know there's been quite a lot of calls by quite a few societies to boycott it.
Yes.
And it'd be quite nice to see the SU address that.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Obviously, we want to become affiliated and we have to go through that democratic process. But if there isn't enough societies at that council because they don't feel the SU has made a strong enough response, then we won't get affiliated.
Yeah, have you guys received support from the SU throughout the previous ongoings?
I mean, as potential president, I've had support from Georgina Pittman, for example, activities officer. She's been very like supportive in how to go about the process in the right way and making sure that it aligns with the SU beliefs. So regardless of what our society is, she's been very, you know, helpful with making sure we go about it the right way. The president, James, as well, has been fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to us.
As ever, here on The Pulse, we are interested in what the student body think. We asked students on campus for their opinions, and this is what they had to say.
Me and my housemates thought that if it's a university-like union, it should be progressive and sort of represent everyone, and obviously allowing something like that to happen very much takes your own... Like it sides with an opinion, and it's quite a controversial... It's not like it's not a controversial opinion. It's something that also, for me personally, I know a few friends who have had to make hard decisions like that, and I think it's really, really quite offensive, to be honest, and I feel like it ostracises quite a lot of the students who feel like they should have a university that respects what they choose, and that clearly doesn't.
Well, as a society's president, you know, we get asked to attend these SU votes frequently. We almost unanimously voted not to affiliate with society. And then the SU just ignored that vote. I think it's a very dangerous precedent to set because, I mean, any society could claim, actually, these are our views, we want to get them viewed. You might get a neo-Nazi society unanimously voted down and say, well, hang on a minute, there's a president here that... the pro-life society, they got affiliated because they threatened legal action, we'll do the same. And then what if the SU caves to that? I think it's quite a dangerous attitude to just avoid the votes.
I think the democratic process of the SU should be changed to mean that they can't just bow as soon as there's any form of pressure in terms of legal action. If they didn't originally want them to be affiliated, then they should have stuck to that rather than just changing their mind. It doesn't set a good example for any other societies.
I think that the way that they went through with it and that they didn't follow the democratic rules was a bit dodgy, but I know that they're changing it now, and so I guess if they're making amends, then I guess that's okay.
As ever, if you want to have your say, please do get in contact with us on Twitter at URN1350 or send us a web message at urn1350.net. After the break, the panel will be debating the affiliation process, so stay tuned.
This is URN.
Welcome back to The Pulse, where we are continuing with today's special. Finally, we're going to open the issue up to today's panel.
First of all, we're going to discuss the way Students for Life got affiliated and what we all think about the affiliation process.
Yeah, I can start. Adam would be Left Society and Socialist Students. I absolutely don't think they should be affiliated. The fact that they were denied the first time and then decided to go to an American hate group for funding and support to try and sue the university is beyond a joke, to be honest. I did actually make some notes of the group that they went to support for. So they support conversation therapy, which is a massively discredited practice. They support the sterilisation of transgender people, and they also funded a legal suit in Belize to have gay sex a criminal offence for 10 years in prison. Any student society that goes to these kind of people for support should not be on campus at all, and every student should fight against them at every opportunity.
I think the problem was that they wouldn't have had to go to these sort of people if they just got the affiliation in the first place. I mean, again, I understand, right, that often with affiliation processes, it's a matter of funding, and, you know, you're competing for a limited number of places due to funding, and some people have said that it was potentially because of that. But the way that the SU officers came out protesting the affiliation process, it was very undemocratic, and from statements from the Pro-Life Society, they've outlined just how they feel like they've been treated unfairly by the SU, and I agree. It was horrendous. Personally, I am neutral in this topic. I don't really have a sway either way. But the way that I saw it was just a university campus and a student union should be a place that champions free speech, a place that champions a diversity of beliefs. And in one of the most widely debated topics in modern society, they seem to be taking a very definitive stance in blocking the affiliation based almost entirely purely off of feelings rather than, again,
facts. They campaigned against it because the year before they'd supported the Repeal the Eighth campaign, which, of course, a society such as this goes against it, and then you've got all the extra baggage that they bring. And I'm not sure how you can say it's undemocratic when there was a vote that took place. Do you support Marxist society who weren't affiliated as well by a vote? Are you going to dedicate as much time as you did with them with Marxist society?
Right, so, I mean, Marxist society is a funny one because
it's the people, exactly. Marxist society didn't go a hate group.
I don't have a problem with Marxist society being affiliated. I think, again, it's great to have a wealth of different beliefs, and I don't think that by affiliating a group doesn't necessarily mean, well, I guess by
affiliating your public support, then
when it comes to the affiliation of societies, the range of societies approached by the university should be wide and should be able to accomplish a company basically every angle of any particular topic, which is why we have such a broad variety of different political groups. The SU shouldn't be a political organisation. The SU should be a neutral organisation that supports a diversity of opinions.
I would say perhaps it should be neutral, but I don't think neutrality exists. And also, we have SU elections every year. It runs a bit like a governing body. And because it runs in that way, of course you're going to get politics involved in it, and you're going to have people campaigning.
Yeah, because you, therefore, Liv, you can technically say that we democratically voted these officers into their position, so technically they are supposed to express the opinions of the students. If they choose to affiliate or not affiliate a society, then obviously a lot of that is down to funding and down to the position of the SU within that, but a lot of it comes down to whether or not the SU think that a certain society is appropriate to be a part of the Students' Union and to be associated to the officers who have been democratically chosen to represent students' beliefs.
Why do you believe that a pro-life society would be unsuitable for students to go to university to be able to show students can have that belief?
I never said unsuitable. I said that the democratic process that went in place to elect these student union officers, there's a clear student support for these officers, and these officers are expressing the beliefs of the students, which was that the pro-life group was not appropriate. In the same way, any form of political group might not have been voted in. Perhaps the reason for example, the Marxist Society not being voted in, maybe it didn't fit with the voted opinion of the students.
What I thought I'd like to ask is, do you think people would have a different sort of view on it if the pro-life society went to a different organisation to help them with legal action?
I just think it's so interesting. There's so many groups they could have gone to, yet they went for what the Southern Poverty Law Centre class as an extremist hate group. You've got to question their members when that's the first organisation they go to for support. It's incredible.
I am not part of the group. I don't affiliate with the group. I can't answer that question for you. All I can do is voice my belief. For them to even have gone through the affiliation process, they would have had to jump through the number of hoops, such as getting a number of members, showing a significant amount of support. As far as I'm aware of, if a society can fill the criteria of becoming an affiliated society, it should be given that, unless due to like funding support. So if you have 30 societies all campaigning for, you know, two funded places, then yes, fair enough, I understand that's going to be some sort of thing. But if that isn't the case, then I believe that those societies should be given a platform to speak on, because again, I believe that a university above all else should champion free speech and diversity of opinion. And I think that this is the way to encompass that, is by a student union not taking sides in these regards.
It's an interesting point, and I'll say the same what I said when they tried to be affiliated. When they made their presentation, they want to work with a group called 40 Days of Life, which even the QMC, the hospital, took out an injunction against them. It's just something else that these people should even be on campus. They shouldn't get SU funding.
So, from what I understand, one of the big reasonings against their affiliation is purely due to the people that they went to for support when they were rejected affiliation.
No, it was when they were going for affiliation in the first place. They said that they were going to align themselves with 40 Days for Life, a group that have protested outside hospitals. They've tried to physically stop people. They stand in the way of women going in to abortion clinics. And this group, before they were even affiliated, stood up and said that they were going to partner themselves with 40 Days for Life.
If a hospital has to take out injunction against you...
A university partner as well.
Yeah,
for QMC.
Do you think that the SU is responding correctly?
But like, there hasn't been much sort of outreach towards the students. It's not very clear what's going on, and like, I haven't seen very much of it. They haven't put out statements about what's happened, really, so I don't think the response has been particularly, efficient or clear.
The response wasn't great. Their first statement the SU put out, they blamed the trustees, but then when you go onto the charity commission, you can see four of the SU officers are the trustees, so who are they blaming, themselves? Or?
I feel like they've kind of left it for the students to debate among themselves, which I think is quite an unprofessional move. Because what it leaves there is a lot of room for people kind of guessing things, people assuming things, and a lot of falsities being spread. Like, Elliot, you said earlier when we were talking about 40 Days for Life, you thought that that was a group that they got to help them with reaffiliation.
I hadn't heard.
Of people don't know the straight facts about this.
Yeah,
and I think if the Students' Union had come out and said, this is what's happened, this is what's going to happen, it might make things a little bit easier for students to understand and not to just jump to opinions so quickly, because that's how this kind of hate speech will get out, is when people jump to conclusions that they actually haven't been given the proper facts for. And it's not their fault for not being given the proper facts it's the position of the Students' Union to come forward and express the truth.
I don't agree with the platforms that the SU use to try and get information across to students. A lot of the information that I've gained has been through Facebook, for example. I know for certain that a lot of my friends who are also students at the University of Nottingham aren't friends with SU officers on Facebook. They probably won't be getting the same information. I feel like if you walk into the Portland building, which is our SU, don't feel like there's anywhere that is displaying the information. I've not received any emails, I've not received any other kind of information. It's had to be me going and actively searching it out, which I think, again, doesn't help misinformation being spread, because then it becomes a thing of hearsay and you hear people on campus going, oh, well, I've heard this and I've heard this, but there's no real source for the information that seems to be like a definitive place where people can go. The SU is reviewing all of its democratic processes at the moment. That's something that James Feasey, our current SU president, ran on when he was going up for his presidency. They want to try and get this finished by March. I personally think that that is a very small timescale to get something so huge passed. What does everybody else think?
I definitely think they should take time, and especially if the democratic process, at, you know, the old one or the one at the moment, is not working in the right way or it's not working fairly. I think they need to take a really long time to work out properly what needs to be done and how the process should go, and I think they definitely need to take more time.
James Feasey has also commented on the fact that the trustees seem to be a kind of committee or a body of people that people know of, but they don't really know what they do. And the SU says that at the moment they're currently revising its website as well, and they're trying to add a page on to try and talk about this a little bit more. Do we think that's a good idea or not?
I think definitely the most important thing the Students' Union could do is give clarity to the student body. And I think by showing who the trustees are, everyone gets a kind of bigger picture of what's going on. And it also, as a student, kind of away from this issue, it makes you feel more comfortable by knowing where your money's going, really.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad they're adding a page on the trustees, because I do think that's one thing that people aren't aware of, what the trustees actually do, and how they seem to have veto power over anything we do.
Do we think that the backlash that you received was uncalled for or called for?
Personally, called for. I think that the way they went about the whole process was very unprofessional. Even when the trustees were threatened with legal action, and so the SU kind of officers kind of just said, you know, okay, fair enough, we overstepped our mark, they're allowing affiliation. Instead of just leaving it at that, they then went out of their way to post on the SU website an article saying about their whole stance as officers on this, which I think, I'm perfectly happy and valid with SU officers having an opinion, but I think that those opinions should be kept on very sensitive, like, political topics such as these. I think that those opinions should be kept to the individual person.
I would argue with that, though, because I would say that the UN recognises pro-choice as well. The SU needs to form a stance as an organisation to show that they are willing to support their members whichever way they go. Pro-choice isn't saying that you can't take a child to full term. They're saying that they're happy for people to make their own choices. That's why it's pro-choice. So I'm not opposed to their stance or them taking that stance. That position officially is what a lot of governing bodies around the world take as their stance.
Especially as the fact that a lot of these different types of abortions are provided through the NHS. It wouldn't be part of the National Health Service if it was something that the UK government thought was morally unacceptable. And if those changes are to be put in place, the Students' Union would have to make a very big step. If they wanted to say that they didn't support a pro-choice movement, they would technically be saying that they didn't support treatment provided by the NHS,
right,
which is a huge move.
So that's the thing, is that I feel like often there's the idea if the SU doesn't support pro-choice and it not immediately is pro-life. Just having, just not even commenting on which side they support, just having a completely neutral tone.
Pro-choice is neutral.
I think that the backlash is definitely, it's students standing there and saying to the SU that it should be held accountable under what students stand for. And I think that definitely, as you say, the SU is a democratically elected body, it's meant to represent students. If there's a backlash from students for an action they do, I don't see how you can see that being uncalled for. It's exactly the whole point of it. If people are unhappy about it, they should definitely have a say about it. And I think a hell of a lot of people were unhappy about the way that they dealt with the situation, me included.
I think I somewhat agree, because even just the label pro-choice or pro-life, there comes a lot of political sort of baggage with the term and with the affiliations. So obviously that's quite difficult, because even though I agree that pro-choice is a neutral stance, but I think the problem is that giving them the pro-choice label sort of puts them on one side, or put, you know, one side or the other. Maybe a neutral stance might be more, it might make each society feel like they can speak more freely, especially the pro-life. They do deserve to have some sort of free speech.
I think it's really interesting, because this was also a recurring theme at the Extraordinary Student Council meeting last week. People were concerned that the term pro-choice was too synonymous with pro-abortion.
I would like to point out that the people that had issue with that was a coordinated anti-abortion effort to turn up to the meeting. So
I don't know if it was a coordinated group that were doing that. I'm not entirely sure. Is it
They all met, stood outside, and then went in and sat in different seats away from each other.
They were still representatives from different societies. Do we think that that is something that the SU should be concerned about or not?
No, I don't think they should be concerned at all. Pro-choice is pro-women's rights and is the neutral stance. To take any other approach would be disappointing of the SU entirely.
I've been in contact with Nottingham Students for Life regarding this whole special, and in their written statement, they specifically said that there's been a lot of misinformation about the way that they stand for. They're not going to go around chanting and stopping people from having abortions. They're there just to provide their say on the matter. They're not out to go and stop people. They're not out to get everyone. They're not out to go and take away women's rights. I mean, for example, quite a few members on their committee are women. Like, they're not there to take away women's rights.
Over 50% of their membership are men, though.
That's still not 100%. They're still there, and again, there are very significant members in their society that are women. Like, you can't.
I wish they were here today to discuss. Well, without just providing a written statement instead of dipping the
interview. You can say that about a lot of societies, to be honest. And I think that throwing flack on that is a bit unprofessional. Some people can't make all these interviews, and I think that the fact that they provided a written statement, which answers all the questions we're going to ask in the interview anyway, is totally valid. I mean, for example, try and fit like everyone from the different societies we've invited to discuss these topics into this room or anything. We'd have 15 people trying to sit around a mic. Like, I think that's uncalled for.
What's everyone's opinions on student apathy? Obviously, this has got a lot of student engagement. Usually, SU matters that go to student council meetings, there's not usually a room full of people like there were at the meeting last Thursday. Usually, it's about 20 people in the audience.
Well, I think the only reason there would be student apathy is because student interest groups try to suppress the information. So, during the extraordinary meeting on last Thursday, I made a post on buy and sell. I think it had something like 100 likes at the time. The Conservative Society contacted the owner and asked her to take my post down.
What was the post regarding?
Getting people to the extraordinary meeting. I think student groups purposely try and suppress information. Because obviously they seem to support freedom of speech when it's in their favour.
I worry a lot of the time that the amount of suppression that does tend to sometimes happen. It's worrying sometimes. I mean, even talking to some people about this topic when it first aired, the amount of people that were just throwing names around about the whole thing, like throwing words like bigots and generally trying to censor discussion and shut it down by just, again, like things like throwing names. I think it's become very commonplace in a lot of these situations. And I think that as a whole, students are generally quite good at maintaining a free speech and like an open discussion, but there are definitely things that slip through the cracks.
So why has this issue got a much higher level of student engagement in comparison to other issues that the SU deals with? We've already used the example of the Marxist Society, which got its affiliation denied. Why has this one in particular gotten so much student engagement?
Because everybody's, it's all over social media already. Everyone's seen the videos of people being stopped from going into abortion clinics. People have seen some of the extreme opinions that have been spread on social media about pro-life and the pro-life, pro-choice debate. I think it is, as Elliot said, one of the most highly debated topics of our time. And I think it does affect a lot of students. It affects young people. And when you're at university, you're definitely open to a lot more ability to have political debate than you are, say, at work or at school. People are naturally going to debate the things that matter to them most. And so I'm not surprised that so many people are talking about it, because it's not just universities concerned about it at the moment. It's a global issue that is being widely discussed, and as young people we have a lot of access to social media and to these news channels that are reporting people's opinions. So when it hits home at your university, a lot of people want to stand up for their rights, or they want to stand up for what they call free speech.
And that's, again, it's a big topic. So this whole thing's in the news, and I think the difference is that Marxism didn't have quite much backlash. It's because it wasn't. It's a bit more niche. I think that's the difference, is that you've got a mainstream debate versus a niche topic.
Students do get more engaged in the SU. It would help the SU to kind of craft and hone its democratic processes, because actually they aren't going to know what their democratic processes can stand up against if people aren't challenging them. The processes were very outdated. The complaints procedure, there were people and processes that you had to go through and do listed on the procedure, which actually no longer exist. Surely, though, the SU has some responsibility to not let its procedures become so outdated that then they're completely obsolete when they need to be used.
I would like to just say, in defence of the SU officers, this did come 2 days after they started. I think it's definitely partly the responsibility of the officers from the year before, more so than the current officers, which obviously would have struggled 2 days in. They hadn't actually completed a lot of their training yet, so they were just fresh to the whole situation.
And maybe we have to take that into consideration when earlier we were discussing the response of the SU. Maybe we need to take that into consideration when we think about how they have responded, because obviously this all started before the academic term had even begun, and the SU officers are new in their roles. Maybe they're just still becoming accustomed to what they need to do. And unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. The review into the SU democratic processes is ongoing, and we'll be providing more up-to-date information as it's released, both here on The Pulse and on our social media accounts. Do feel free to keep getting in contact with us, as we always love to hear what you have to say, but otherwise we will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. as usual. And thank you from myself and the rest of the team here.
This is URN.